Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, on Tuesday last week, we had the United Nations Chernobyl Remembrance Day, which marked 36 years since the world's worst nuclear disaster. And unfortunately, today we are marking 10 full weeks of an ongoing war in that part of the world as well. 29-year-old Raisha Carolyn joins me now to speak about her first-hand experience of the horror of nuclear effects and what it's like seeing Ukraine being devastated again. Raisha, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jennifer. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you on. Can you start by telling us your story?
Yes, absolutely. So I was actually born in Belarus a few years after the Chernobyl nuclear disaster. And as a result, I was kind of, I was born with a lot of medical problems. And I was actually abandoned by my parents, and I grew up in an orphanage until I came over to Ireland through the Chernobyl Children's International with A.D. Roach. And I was coming back and forth to Ireland for a number of years, and then I finally found an Irish family who decided to adopt me full-time to be able to get the medical treatment that I needed. But the experience in Belarus and the orphanage just wasn't... There was a lot of neglect, abuse, and just extremely negative.
How old were you when you entered the orphanage?
I was about a year old. So I was abandoned at birth, and a lady, or a nurse rather, in the hospital looked after me for about a year, and then she couldn't continue doing it, and she had to place me into an orphanage for abandoned babies.
Okay. And what medical problems did you have?
So as a result of kind of the radiation and the aftermath of the Chernobyl nuclear disaster, I had some genetic disorders which affected. I was born with a cleft palate. I was born with kind of issues with my legs and stuff, and that just affected me walking and eating properly.
And okay, so then you, wow. How old were you then when you were adopted by the Carolyn family?
So I came to Ireland when I was about 5 or 6.
Okay.
And then for a number of years, I was coming back and forth. And then when I was 10, so in 2002, I was adopted full time. Then we went over for the 2-year adoption process, very long. And then thankfully then in 2002, I then became an Irish citizen, and I've been here ever since.
Amazing. Do you have any recollection, or do you remember, what's your first memory of Ireland?
My first memory of Ireland is probably being extremely fascinated with light switches. it's not something that I would have ever experienced before. So coming over and just used to be playing with them, turn them on, off.
Light switches?
Light switches, yeah, because the orphanage is extremely basic, and because I was pretty much just bedridden to a bed because we just weren't really looked after. I was just in a cot from one day to the next. So I just had no clue about anything else in the world, and I got this fascination with light switches as soon as I came over.
Do you still have that fascination with light switches?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not anymore. I grew out of it.
Oh, that is the cutest thing I've ever heard. So listen to me. So you were adopted then when you were 10, and that must have been an amazing feeling for a 10-year-old to finally have a home.
Yeah, absolutely. Because every time I came back and forth, and you had to go back, like my late mother Anne, like the pair of us used to be crying our eyes out at the airport, knowing that I have to go back. And you're just looking forward to, even when I was back in Belarus after, you're just looking forward to that next trip to Ireland, and you don't know if it's going to happen or not. So it's just that unknowing if you are going to return. And then when we were going over for the adoption, it was pretty much final once, you know, the court hearing was finished, and we were literally on the next plane home and gone.
I'm sure that was the longest couple of years of your life, going back and forth and wanting to be here. I mean, it would have been nice if it had been a lot quicker, the whole process.
Yeah, it was an extremely drawn-out process, and I have been here for kind of a couple of months just for medical treatment and stuff, but unfortunately, the Belarus, just when they wanted me back, I had to return the next day. Like, it was very... there was no leniency there to allow me to have full treatment. It was, we want her back, and I had to go back.
Okay. You recently tracked down your birth family. What was that like?
Yeah, so back in, at the beginning of the year, actually, my brother, actually, biological brother, reached out to me for my birthday, which I was extremely shocked about, because I knew that AD and the Children's International had got in contact with them and had met them, but I didn't. I haven't been able to because of COVID and everything, and just waiting for the right time to make that communication. And they reached out to me in January, and it was very surreal, to be honest. I wasn't expecting it. It was out of the blue, and it was very emotional as well, because knowing that I've wanted this for so long, and then it's starting to happen, and obviously with COVID and now with the war, it makes it extremely difficult for my plans to go over and meet them in person. So we're just emailing for now.
Okay. And a difficult question, but what are your feelings towards your birth parents?
I think I don't have any anger towards them, or I don't have, like, I just want to know, kind of, I already kind of know the circumstances, well, kind of, you know, one can only think. I'm not going to know fully why I was abandoned until I actually have that conversation, but I don't hold any grudge or anything, because at the end of the day, I wouldn't be where I am today only for the experiences I've gone through, and that just makes me stronger on the other end. So in a way, I know they wanted to give me a better life, and they have by doing that, because if I had stayed in Belarus, and they just weren't able to look after me with all the medical problems I had as well.
Do you still feel drawn or connected to that part of the world?
Absolutely, because I think it is where I come from, it's where I'm born, and, you know, now reconnecting with my biological family, it's just, ever since I kind of lost my adopted mother, Anne, a couple of years ago, it's just, I just have this kind of feeling of wanting to know a bit more about my biological family.
Yeah.
Wondering which of them are still alive, which who isn't, and just that kind of, so there is that definitely connection there.
And you have questions, I'm sure, a lot of questions that you want to be answered. Can I ask you then, what feelings had you when Russia captured Chernobyl?
It's very worrying. I was actually, you know, I've been watching this live, like, yeah, most of the world has, and it's obviously I'm a bit more attached with it, so I'm getting a bit more emotional as I'm watching this, and it's very worrying, because, you know, it's already kind of remembered for the world's worst nuclear accident, and my fear is that the next, you know, Chernobyl will be Chernobyl itself. And that's kind of the worrying fear. And, you know, with them being there and, you know, digging trenches and going through with their vehicles, they're disturbing the soil and the radioactive material, and it's going back into the atmosphere again. So it's a bit worrying in that sense. And I know that the radiation levels have started to peak a little bit since as well.
So it's extremely, extremely dangerous. What's it like for you seeing the effect this war is having on children, especially children in orphanages?
Yeah, it's quite emotional, to be honest. It's quite moving when I'm watching it. I'm just kind of seeing the pain and suffering of a lot of them. Obviously, my experience is a little bit different, but just knowing that they're just kind of not neglected, but, you know, that they don't know what's going to happen, you know, not knowing if they're going to get out, if they're going to survive. It's very heartbreaking, to be honest, because obviously we'd love to be able to get all the vulnerable out, because in times like this, you know, they can be exploited in wrong ways. And, you know, I fear for that, because a child who's abandoned, and especially with disabilities, they can't defend for themselves. So we have to try and do that for them. And I suppose that's why I'm kind of, especially over the anniversary last week, I kind of spoke out about, you know, wanting to be that voice for them, make sure that they're looked after, that we can get them out of the war zone and get them to safety, because they can't do it themselves.
Someone has to do it for them. You're now also an ambassador for the charity set up by A.D. Roach, Chernobyl Children's International. What's that like?
I mean, I kind of have always said that I owe them a lot, because only for AD and, you know, setting up the charity back when the disaster happened, you know, I wouldn't be here. And, you know, with only without their help and, you know, with the help of my family and me as well, being adopted, I probably wouldn't be alive. I wouldn't have survived everything that I've been through, and being neglected, not being able to eat and walk. I wouldn't have survived. So I owe them a lot. And it's a little bit, it's, and also being able to help is very rewarding. Being able to share my story in order to help other children is very much why I do what I do for them. And that's kind of the big part for us.
If people would like to help Chernobyl Children's International, how can they do so? Can they go to a website and donate and have a look at the work they do?
Yes, absolutely. The Chernobyl Children's International website, .com. Also, they have an Instagram account, a Facebook account, Twitter account, all with Chernobyl Children's International. So you can go to any of the sites, and they can definitely look up on all the news, everything that we do, all the programs that they do. They only recently did cardiac arrest missions in Ukraine, actually, in the war zone, helping up to 15, 30 children with heart surgeries. So we're trying to continue doing as much as we can, even in the circumstances that we're in. It's very difficult, but at the end of the day, saving children's lives and helping is the core of what the charity is about. So yeah, absolutely, anyone can reach out on any of the social media platforms or the website.
Raisha, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for sharing your story and raising much needed awareness for this amazing charity, and I wish you the very best in all that you do.
Thank you very much, Jennifer.
Thanks, Raisha. Bye-bye. That was Raisha Carolyn, a survivor of the aftermath of the Chernobyl nuclear disaster, who is now an ambassador for the charity Chernobyl Children's International. If you want to go on and see the incredible work that they do, and you can donate as well.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.